Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Still to come, we'll hear from Jesse Rogers. We'll get his thoughts about the Cubs and Sox, everything else, baseball at 9:18. We'll crack open the Friday folder, all the stuff that we couldn't get to this week. It's all in the folder at 9:35, and Tracy Butler will hook us up with weekend weather from ABC 7 Eyewitness News.
She might be the single nicest person I know.
You're right there in the team photo.
Tracy's amazing, but I appreciate you saying that. Tracy, Dave Ennett, they're like the nicest humans in the world.
Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch the show and all the shows here on ESPN 1000, like Greeny, coming up at 10, followed by Carmen and Yurko, supersized edition of Carmen and Yurko, from 12 until 2:30, right into White Sox Pirates. 3:15 start for Sox Pirates right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. Speaking of the White Sox, Cap, as a lifelong White Sox fan, as you well know, obviously when the season starts, you're locked in, ready to go. All right, what's the season going to bring? New manager, new energy? Rick Hahn says, let's go. He says, what's his phrase? Rick Hahn told us the other day.
Tune in.
That is right along the lines of Ed Lynch. We're working on it. What do you mean you're working on it? Like, hell of a slogan, right? He said, I think that Brooks Boyer should start making the T-shirts right now. And that is, tune in. Okay, I tuned in. And I tuned in to an ass-whooping to the part of San Francisco, a beatdown of the Sox twice in this series. Yesterday, 16-6. Six runs should be enough for you to win games, but not if you're giving up 16 the other end. The starting pitching has been woeful in this series. Woeful. You have a guy in our good friend here, the mustachioed one. He comes out there.
Dylan Cease.
And gives you a nice effort.
He did.
Under the weather.
Not feeling well. Gutted out five innings. Got it done.
How about Lance Lynn?
He was horrific yesterday. Horrific.
Cap.
Holy bleep.
4 1/3, 9 hits, 8 runs, all earned, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts.
He was horrible.
Some thoughts from Pedro Grifol.
You know, he battled and gave us everything he had. That's really all, you know, I can say. I mean, he's a warrior out there, you know. So he left a couple pitches up early, and obviously, you know, they were able to put good swings on it. Other than that, he gave us everything he had out there.
You see, you can't put the label warrior on someone that gives up 8 earned runs. No warrior. Yeah, did he compete? Yeah, so did everybody.
Like, would you as an athlete, I'll play the role of Pedro. You're Lance Lynn.
Yeah.
Pedro, what'd you think of the performance today of Lance? Look, we love Lance. He's a horse. He's a guy, a warrior in our rotation. Today, he was awful. That happens over a long season. Throw it in the garbage can and move on to your next start. But today, no. It was a bad day for Lance Lynn, a bad day for us.
Yes.
Rather than he gave us everything. No, he didn't.
No, he did not give you everything.
He got the ever-living H beaten out of him.
No. You can say, we're going to go back to the drawing board, but it was not a good outing. And Lance would tell you that. Because Lance is someone who's honest. He'll tell you about his performance.
This is a bad series. You know, when we made mistakes, they made it hurt. That'll happen. Unfortunately, you know, it happens during your first homestand, so it sucks. You know, we got to make better pitches, quality pitches, and you know, it's something we're very capable of doing. It wasn't good. There's no way to sugarcoat it. All in all, it was a piss poor day.
Not going to panic, Cap, because they're just 3-4 through the first 7 games of the season. Not going to panic. I feel like things will turn around in Pittsburgh. I don't think that'll be a problem there. But the whole point is, though, it's the first homestand. You want to be able to show the fan base, hey, you know what? This is going to be different than last year. You know, every team's going to have their ebbs and their flows, their ups and downs. That's clear. But it's the first homestand. You don't want to come out like that where the starting pitching is a problem. If you have a problem hitting in the spring, we've seen that before. That's not new.
Cold.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But, Cap, you can't go like that. You can't perform like that. So we'll see what happens moving forward. It's not a panic situation, but I'm disappointed at the starting pitching in this series.
57-year-old Rich Hill, I believe, is pitching against you tonight. Now, the one thing that concerns me there, by the way, the analytics site prediction machine that I go to every day, White Sox win 53.2% of the time tonight. So it's pretty much a toss-up game.
That shouldn't be. But then it's the shaky Giolito out there.
Correct. The projected score is 3.8 to 3.5. They play the game 10,000 times, and they just give you the numbers. They don't make a pick. They just give you the analytics. The thing that scares me for the White Sox is you're going on the road, and you're taking on a soft-tossing, great curveball-throwing lefty. Those are the guys that always give them trouble.
Yep. The crafty Rich Hill.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like if you said, oh, they're facing Hunter Green of the Reds, who throws 102 miles an hour, we'll handle them. Right?
Yeah. But here's the other side of the compliment sandwich. And that is, I'm very happy what I've seen from Luis Roberts. It starts with him.
Yeah, I think he's off to a very good start.
I like what I've seen from Tim Anderson when he's available and not being kicked out of a ball game.
Correct.
I mean, again, he's the straw that stirs the drink for this White Sox team.
Andrus has had a great start to his season.
It's been like that for the last couple of seasons, though. It's Tim at the top of the lineup. Let's go.
I think Oscar Colas has gotten off to a nice start.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's a rookie. There's going to be ups and downs with him, but he's put the ball in play. He looks like he looks the part.
Yes. And also Zavala, he gave you 1 for 5 with 2 runs yesterday. It's just like, to me, Zavala's maybe not the sexy name, but he's the better catcher. The better catcher,
yes,
defensively.
But the bullpen, Joe Kelly makes whatever he makes, $8 million. He's not very good. Jose Ruiz, that guy's terrible.
Yes, he is.
So far.
Yes, he is.
So we'll see.
Yeah, but again, it's early. I didn't like that. Grafal on the bullpen game as a whole.
We didn't have much in that bullpen today. You know, and that's what pitchers like him do. You know, they know it, and you know, he just goes out there and, you know, does what he can, the best he can. You know, that's why he went out for that next inning, because I knew we were going to have to get 2 from either Santos or Ruiz, and you know, at that point, you know, you start thinking about, you know, a position player again. You always gotta find ways to get through games like this so you don't compromise tomorrow and the next day. You know, every game's important, but this is one game.
That's enough. There was another 15 seconds. I had enough.
You're done.
Yeah, that's enough. It's embarrassing to have...
By the way, he'll join us on the show at 9 o'clock Monday.
Yeah, but at that time. But for right now, that's enough.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, like, there's nothing else you could say. Like, you're telling me this guy's a warrior. He might be a warrior, but not in that game for Lynn. And then have a position player out there is embarrassing. That's when you're just getting your ass kicked.
Twice in one series.
Exactly. That's tough. There was another story, by the way, as we wait for the Cubs and Rangers. That'll be an interesting series because Marcus Stroman pounding his chest, heartbeat of the Cubs. That guy, I like him.
Right.
He gives a damn. I like him.
I want to see, though, how he handles it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's pounding his chest when he got a big strike out of the Brewers.
Yeah.
Great.
Bravado.
I want to see how he handles it if Corey Seager or Marcus Semien or somebody takes him out to Waveland Avenue and is thumping their chest all the way around the plate or way around the bases. How you going to handle that?
He'll be good with it.
Okay.
I think he'll be good with it.
I hope so.
The next batter, right in the ear hole. Bam!
Right. That's uncalled for. You're the guy. I love bouncing off the mound. You got a big strike out of whoever on the Brewers. Great. If somebody takes you deep, you better wear it.
Yeah. And it's Marcus Stroman. That guy hasn't necessarily been like the best of the best. He's always been solid for every team. He'll be all right with it because he is a guy that brings energy. I like him. He's entertaining.
He's very entertaining.
He may not be your ace, you know, for the long haul, but just he wants to be here, and I watch him. I think he's very entertaining. My man's got his do-rag on. He's got his hat on, making sure that the hair is right for the night. You've seen that, Jay Moore, right? You can see it coming out of the cap.
Right.
To make sure that hair is right.
He's got it tight. Got ready to
texturize
go.
It.
Texturizing while he's pitching. And then there's a story, Cap, about Fernando Tatis Jr.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read you this because I found it very funny.
Mm-hmm.
So Tatis Jr. has been out with an injury.
Mm-hmm.
He started his rehab assignment this week as he officially begins his return from an 80-game suspension for a positive PED test. I'm reading from USA Today. The second game of that stint with AAA El Paso was Wednesday, and Tatis looked to be in top form, launching an absolute bomb off pitcher Cade McClure of the Giants affiliate in Sacramento. But don't think McClure considered it some sort of badge of honor. The 27-year-old made clear his feelings about Tatis on Twitter. They tweet the home run. He retweets it and says, "Cheater hits a home run on a rehab assignment during a steroid suspension."
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's now deleted the tweet because he's getting blasted. Did you need to go there? You're 27. You're still in the minors. Did you need to go there?
No, he did not.
But he did.
Who told him to take the tweet down? Sox?
You mean the Giants?
The Giants, rather, yeah.
Nobody. It doesn't say who told him to take it down, but it's been deleted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He appeared in 44 games at AAA Charlotte last season, his fifth with the White Sox organization, and now with the Giants. I wanted the Giants reach out to him and say, "All right, it's classless. Take that down."
Yeah, take that down.
Because you never know if you cross paths with him again. You're in the minors now. What if you get called up?
Correct.
Do it with class, pal. It's funny, though.
It was funny. I think it's hilarious. But you probably want to take the high road there. He just took you way up and way out.
Steroid cheat, he says. Right. Okay. Jesse Rogers with the latest on the Cubs and Sox and everything else Major League Baseball coming up next. It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and J-Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Jesse Rogers is on the CarX Auto and Tire Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
He's here to talk baseball with us here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning, boys. Great show. Good listen on the way to Wrigley. I just got here. Looks like a beautiful day, which is, as I said to you guys Friday, not a good thing for the Cubs. When you build a team on defense, you kind of want a bad April for these indoor teams or West Coast teams, which they're playing a lot of in April. We may have the best weather in April we've had in years. In any case, if the Cubs slug a little bit like they did in Cincinnati, maybe they'll come up with a series victory, and they should. They're at home against a team that doesn't come here very often, and they have their ace on their mound today, Marcus Stroman.
So talk to me about Marcus Stroman, because I love the emotion bouncing off the mound. He got a big strike out of a Brewer, and he's pumping his fist. Will he be the same dude if Corey Seager takes him to Waveland Avenue and is bouncing around the mound or around the bases? Will he be that same guy?
I think so, Cap, because I think he does recognize that it goes both ways. I think he's smart enough to recognize that. I mean, you were saying it earlier. Stroman's been a really good, solid player and citizen for the Chicago Cubs. He came with a little baggage from New York, and his issues might be on Twitter. Like, if you watch, follow his Twitter feed.
Oh, boy.
He's going at people a little bit. He's got to be careful in this cancel culture world we live in, right? But on the mound and in that clubhouse, he's very well respected, and he's done a really good job. I suspect if someone celebrates a home run the way he celebrates a strikeout and all that, I think he'll respond the right way. I do. We'll find out, but I think he would.
Jesse, for the amount of money that the Rangers have spent, what do you think that they will finish when the season's over? What do you think of what they've done, and what do you think that will equate to?
Yeah, it's such a good point, because I've been thinking about this the last few days with them coming to town. I brought up the Rangers a couple times in the offseason. This is the team to compare the Cubs' little rebuild to, right? They're both sort of trying to enter a phase of contending sooner rather than later. The Rangers have gone quality over quantity, where I think the Cubs have gone quantity over quality in hitting the free agent market. DeGrom, Semien, Seager, probably better pound for pound than Suzuki, Stroman, Swanson. But, you know, similar situations. When DeGrom's healthy, he's as good as anybody in baseball. And Seager and Semien are pretty darn good, but so is Swanson. We haven't seen the best of Suzuki just yet. And, of course, Stroman can leave after this year. But they've done more than just that. And they have young players sort of contributing, which the Cubs don't have just yet. They had a couple. They had a taste of it from Morel last year, but he's back in the minors. We're waiting for the Cubs to get those young players up here, combined with their free agents. The Rangers seem to be moving a little bit quicker. I think they have a shot at the playoffs. I mean, they brought in a manager that isn't in for a five-year rebuild, right? Bruce Bochy came out of retirement. I think they have a shot at the wild card, not necessarily the division, with Seattle and Houston a little bit fully more fully formed. But I think the Rangers, and for Cub fans, it's the team to kind of watch. Which team moves quicker to a contending stage? And at this moment in April, I would say it's absolutely the Texas Rangers. Now, if DeGrom gets hurt and that $185 million is a waste, maybe that changes things. They took more risks with Simeon plus 30 years old and giving him all that money, and DeGrom giving him all that money. Cubs are doing a little bit slower.
So talk to me about this Cubs team offensively going to play in this series, where they're at a week in. I feel like their margin of error is so slim.
Well, yeah, you're taking on Toby Herrera. You got Pete O'Brien over there.
Those guys are retired.
Ruben Sierra, what?
Those guys are retired. Adrian Beltre, too.
Oh, sorry.
Like, I think... I think their offense is kind of what you'd imagine. Like, against the Reds pitching staff, they're going to put up big numbers, but there's going to be moments of struggles. Like, I just feel like looking at the Cub team, they're a classic 81-win team right now, and their offense is going to sort of imitate that feeling. It's going to have its moments, there's no doubt. And Swanson's off to a great start. Bellinger finally got off the schneid in Cincinnati. But there are other moments. Now, of course, they missed DeGrom, so that's good this weekend. No reason they can't take two out of three. But I do think there are going to be times where they're outslugged by the better teams in the league. And then other times the Cubs will shut those teams down because they have a good defense and decent pitching. And I just think it's going to be that little roller coaster. It's a stopgap year. Remember, folks, Bellinger's a stopgap for PCA. Hosmer's a stopgap for Mervis, who had a grand slam last night. PCA, first game in Double A last night, 2-for-4 with a walk, got on base three times. I'm assuming he played great center field because he always does. So, Cap, the offense is okay, and there'll be moments where it's great and then moments where it won't be so great. And to me, it kind of reeks of an 81-win team because of all of that.
PCA being Pete Crow Armstrong. He doesn't get an acronym until he's on the... This is ridiculous.
He's PCA.
He's not PCA. And until he gets to the big leagues, he doesn't get a nickname. Stop it, Jesse. You're a reporter.
I agreed with you the last time you corrected me. You're exactly right. I'm the guy that is always telling fans to slow down, because even if he does get to the major leagues as a highly touted prospect, doesn't mean he's going to be a stud. We've seen many flame out. So you're right. He is Pete Crow Armstrong until he gets here. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, you pulled
stop.
Pull that with Kirchen and Carl Ravitch. See if they know what the hell you're talking about. PCA.
I've been critical of other people that have sort of anointed and done all that with prospects. No anointing of prospects. That's all they are until they produce at the major league level.
What's wrong with the White Sox and that starting pitching? This was rough to open up the guaranteed rate. 16-6 and 12-3 in this series.
Yeah, I told Waddle and Silva yesterday that I went back and watched every single home run, and I had to puke afterwards. It was just awful, and it was the pitchers. I mean, it was Kopech and Lynn. It wasn't this unbelievable hitting job by the Giants. I mean, they obviously have to hit the ball, but these were put on a tee, whether it be a fastball down the middle with no movement or no zip to it, or a hanging pitch, a slider by Kopech. Or just Lynn just laying it up there with a cutter at 88, 89, right down the middle. This is all on them. Now, I agree with what you guys said. There's a lot of good things that have happened for the Sox in the first seven games. So throw out two bad starts, and there's good things happening. They seem to have a capable manager. There's good communication, decent defense. It's been okay. Now, I don't know what the deal is with Kopech and Lynn. Maybe it's one game, and maybe it's a pattern we'll see. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, it sucks that they didn't at least give their team a chance. And that's what any starting pitcher will tell you, even without their best stuff. Dylan Cease walked five guys, gave his team a chance to win. That wasn't the case with Kopech and Lynn. So all we can do really is see a body of work here. But it sucks to have two out of seven with no chance to win a game, right? Yeah. And until further notice, and this is what I said to Waddle and Sylvie, this is a 500 team until they prove otherwise.
Jesse, the lineup out for either ball club yet for the Cubs or for the White Sox? They were both our day games.
Yeah, Sox are 3 o'clock. I have not seen the Cubs because I just got to Wrigley. They They may have tweeted it out. Nathan Eovaldi on the mound for the Rangers, one of those new guys. I mean, they rebuilt their pitching staff led by DeGrom. And I, like I said, they're going for it with Bruce Bochy as the manager. Now, going for it might just mean the playoffs, not necessarily this World Series team. But they've got a good mix of young guys and free agents they brought in. So, you know, with a righty on the mound, we'll see what David Ross does. But I assume it'll be your normal lineup with 2 days off, right? They haven't played since Wednesday, or Tuesday. So I assume it'll be your normal lineup. Nobody needs
any rest. I'm hoping it's Yan Gomes. You know what he's hitting lifetime? 6-for-11 against Eovaldi. Let's go!
He's setting up his bets before the game starts, Jesse, if you couldn't tell. So on your site, on ESPN.com.
Yeah.
But you don't ask the guy for inside information. Got the lineup yet so I can get it locked in. Take that.
The game's down to
120.
Yeah, but you're setting your bets up before 10.
No, I'm just looking at the analytical matchups for
today.
You know
what? No one's listening to you.
Wow.
Just keep your beak out of it, for God's sake. He's an intrepid reporter trying to lock it in.
Make sure he's got Gomes and Hosmer in the lineup.
He's not going to do that. He's going to go up to Rossi and tell him who should play? Anyway, on ESPN.com, on your site, let's talk politics, Jess. Let's talk about it.
What do you got?
Climate change being the difference in the amount of home runs and runs that we've seen so far. An extra 50 or so more home runs over the fences this year. A new study from Dartmouth. Do you believe that the climate change is the difference in offense with more home runs because of the weather?
Well, I do agree it might be because of the weather, but I don't know if it's climate change, because there's been many Aprils that have been bad and less home runs hit. And actually, it was just a few days ago that the home run rate was down over the first like 4 or 5 games, and then it shot up, probably because of the Giants. But there was a day, Cap, you'll like this, speaking of betting, there was a day where every game, I think, went over about 3 days ago. Every game went over. It was the first time in whatever year, 3 years, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of home runs just in the last few days, Hoodie. But think of the weather. Use Chicago as an example, and I've looked at other games. It's been pretty decent weather everywhere for early April, and I think that's the reason. But now, is every April after this going to be great? I have no idea. Then you can point to climate change, but because I don't recall last April being all that warm. So I think it's just year to year for now. We'll see over the course of 10 years if things change.
Yeah, it's right there on ESPN.com. They're citing that that's going to be the... Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but it's right there. So you got to back it up, Jess, if it's on ESPN.com.
I have to back that up. You're right.
But I can't wait to get home this afternoon and just sit down on my couch. The dogs will be all locked in with me. I got 2 baseball games to watch. That's an awesome afternoon.
It is awesome that it's back, and it's awesome that it moves. I'm enjoying it as a reporter. I know everyone's a little different. I don't have to stand in line for a beer. But I've been home a few of these days, and to have both games on, and it's 2.5 hours. Things are moving. I think it's great. Is every moment great because of the new rules? No. But overall, I know the league is happy, and I think the majority of fans are happy, especially Cap.
We should remind people.
Very much so.
We should remind people, Jess, especially our older audience listeners, Cubs, Rangers, Apple TV.
That's right. Yes, Apple TV. And then here's another
plug. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Apple TV. So,
oh,
Cap,
God,
you better sign up.
Hold on a second.
Wait a minute.
Hey, get my son Alex on the phone. I don't know how to use that at the house.
He's stroking. Absolutely.
You got to be freaking kidding me.
Apple TV, buddy.
On a Friday afternoon?
Yep.
I thought
yep.
that was a Sunday morning thing.
As we
Peacock.
As,
yeah. Well, that's Peacock. Peacock yes. Sunday morning.
So, as we said, just for our old audience here, like the guy next to me, someone plug up the Apple TV.
Hey, call my wife. Ask her if we have Apple TV.
Jesse, any other nuggets from your travels?
Well, can I give you a plug since we're plugging Apple TV?
Got a book.
5:30 today, abc7.com. Rodgers and Mark Sinowski hosting the streaming sports overtime show on abc7.com. I'll be taping it from Wrigley in an hour, so stream that. I'm sure Tracy will have a presence on that show.
It's what? I didn't see that in the trades. You're working with who?
abc7.com.
Our guy Mark Sinowski. He's the best.
Mark, Dion and Ryan are on vacation, so they asked the B team, Mark and I, to host the overtime streaming show on abc7.com. It runs at 5:30 today.
You wearing a suit or no?
I am wearing a suit, no tie. Sport jacket.
Okay, there you go.
Hey, get that lineup, please.
Never mind. Thank you, Jess.
I'll text it to you.
Thank you.
You got it, buddy. See you guys.
Apple TV.
I just thought I'd drop that nugget on you. No, it's actually Apple TV Plus, it says here.
Why, no, I don't have that. Well, that, for Christ's sake, that's horrible.
Plus what?
No, just kidding. Plus this. What does that mean?
Don't be like that, Cap. Come on now.
So wait, Marquee can't carry the game at all?
No. This is an exclusive Apple TV Plus game.
You can catch a post-game or pre-game, I'm sure.
This is, don't be like that. Come on, we have a young audience here.
Come on now.
I understand, but this is what it is. I can't wait to sit down. Wait a minute. Where's the Cubs? Wait a minute.
I mean,
Mindy, where are the Cubs? I don't know, hun.
Call Alex.
I don't know. Channel 9? They're not on 9 anymore. I can't do the recap without it.
CLTV?
You know the events.
I mean, this is
Lance McAllister with your post game.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. So you're going to have to get that plugged in. It's right here. Apple TV Plus. Actually, have a double header. They got the Cubs and Rangers. San Diego, Atlanta will be the night game at 6:20.
You pick like the Mariners and the Indians or the Guardians.
That's a fine.
Yeah.
$1. Birdie's book bag.
I don't have any money on me today, but I'll take care of it.
The Indians! Hey! Cap, you got plenty of time to figure it out between now and 1:20, but I mean,
that just, I mean, that sucks.
Here I am for you, Cappy. Ball one. Here's Zach.
Thanks, Pat.
you got choices, but I know you'd rather watch it on Apple TV.
Yes.
Ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Here's Zach.
Hall of Famer.
Friday Folder next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headline with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Sox will take on the Pirates today. That'll be a 2:30 pregame with Connor McKnight right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Hey, hon, hook up the Apple TV. Where can I watch the Cubs and Rangers?
I'm texting her right now.
Hon, I'm just telling you. Marcus Stroman's on the mound. It's a 1:20 start. If Cap could find it. Also, the Bears signed defensive lineman Rasheen Green to a one-year $2.5 million contract with the Bears. He's played in 69 games and started 29 over four seasons. The Bulls are back in action tonight, and they list LaVine, DeRozan, and Caruso as questionable against the Mavericks tonight. Vucevic was not on the injury report. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Now time for the Friday Folder here on Cap and Jay Hood, brought to you by
ETI, School of Skilled Trades. Awesome.
Cap was having a good Friday, then found out his Cub game is not going to be on Channel 9. So now he's...
No, I've adjusted. I have Marquee.
Yes.
It's not hard. Come on.
Ah! You don't know how to light a godforsaken match. Who are you talking about? And you sleep in socks, pants, and a long-sleeve shirt. You have issues.
It's I do have hard. Issues, but setting up an Apple TV is not one of them.
Oh, man. Cap's day's ruined now. He's got to have someone. You think your wife's going to help you with that Apple TV? No shot. She's not helping you. Here's Jake Cantu.
I'll
Jake.
Do it, Cap. She hasn't responded.
No, she won't. Here's Jake.
But you got to pay me, Cap. I'll set it up for you.
Damn.
All right.
Don't do that.
Let's start with Charles Oakley and Isaiah Thomas continuing their beef. So supposedly, this happened earlier in the week. Isaiah Thomas saw a clip of comments Oakley made on the All the Smoke show on Showtime. This was a year ago. and it was of Charles Oakley calling out Isaiah Thomas for continuing to discuss Michael Jordan. Here's what he had to say.
He still want to be Mike. Mike do not want to be your friend, Isaiah. I'm telling you for the fifth time. He do not want to be your friend. You know, stay on ESPN. Keep talking on TNT. Mike's just, you know. Now you're trying to say everybody better than Mike. It's okay. You're not better than Mike. He came to your city and took your city. That's why you're really mad. He took over Chicago. I know.
Tough. Oh, man. So Charles Oakley says, hey, Michael Jordan took your city, Isaiah Thomas. I saw what Isaiah had to. He clapped back and said, you know, there was times I didn't even have a home. I was sleeping on different couches. I didn't call my. But you understand the point. Chicago's your city, and Michael took it because of Michael's success.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Yeah, and you played for our rival, the Detroit Pistons, and at times conducted yourself like a jackass.
That's never getting better, Cap. You think after all these years you could squash it, okay? It was a rivalry. You won your championships, Isaiah. Michael won his. But Michael holds a grudge badly.
So he comes in, Isaiah, and he's a nice guy when you deal with him.
Yeah.
He is. He comes into TV. Sits down, he's promoting a champagne that he's making.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Thomas and whoever partnered on some champagne. And they said, you get 10 minutes with the whole panel's out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're all doing the interview, 10 minutes, and his PR people are like off. We've gone like 12 now. They're rap. We've got all their stations.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, all right, they're giving me the high sign. We got to go. This is on live TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, thanks for coming in, Isaiah. Thanks for bringing a bottle of champagne. Best of luck. I'd shake your hand, but I know you don't do that.
Oh.
He goes, what'd you say? And I said, I'd shake your hand. Thank you for coming in, but I know you'd leave before the handshake. And he's like, cancel the next appointment. You want to do this? Let's go. 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Of why he walked off the court, wouldn't shake the Bulls. It was the best TV I've ever been a part. He was amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Didn't this all star because of the 92 snub from the Dream Team?
It goes back that far, yes.
No, it goes farther. It started when Michael was a rookie and made the all-star game, and Isaiah, according to Michael, orchestrated a freeze-out of the young kid and froze him out in the all-star game of getting the ball much.
Mm-hmm.
Michael never forgave him for that. And then, when the Bulls finally climbed the mountaintop and beat the Pistons in 91, they left before this, like, what, 8 seconds to go? They walked off, wouldn't shake the Bulls' hands.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right. What else you got, JC?
Real quick, I wanted to mention, too, one more thing on this. Isaiah Thomas responded on Twitter as well. He said, I remember us kicking your ass a lot. Someone, please check my record versus any team he played on. Sit down, be humble. My favorite part about this, though, is he tweeted this at 8:25 in the morning yesterday.
Yeah, first thing on his mind.
First thing on his mind, roasting him back at 8:20 in the morning.
All right, what else do we have?
All right, let's move on to another former NBA guard, Ben Gordon, arrested on weapon charges. The former UConn standout. He was in a juice, I believe it was a juice store.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode started before 10 a.m. Tuesday. Several 911 callers reported a male acting aggressively in a bizarre manner inside a juice shop in Stamford, Connecticut. He was arrested and released later on that day off a bond, but he was carrying some weapons. Gordon's pocket had a knife clip, stun gun, and brass knuckles.
Ben Gordon and I had a pretty good relationship when he was with Chicago, Cap. And the stuff that we read about Ben Gordon recently is not the Ben Gordon I remember as a Bull. He's gone through some issues.
Yeah, it's a very sad story. He's having a lot of emotional problems. He had an episode in an airport with where he hit his child. Yeah. It's a very, very sad fall from where he was, and he needs help.
Jay Moore and JC, what else do we have?
I want to continue down this criminal spree. A man breaks into Michael Jordan's house and he's been trying to sell for a decade. An Illinois man and I think he's from Mundelein.
Mm-hmm.
18-year-old broke into Michael Jordan's estate, the one that has a big M on it, or excuse me, the 23 on it, and he was arrested. I don't know what he was doing in there, but it's just nice to know that the youngins still have respect for Michael Jordan to break into his house.
I thought it was Isaiah Thomas. I'm just kidding. Too soon.
I keep saying that Danny and Keith and Craig, our bosses, They should buy that house and make it the home of ESPN 1000.
That'd be something.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
Rip out that old shag carpeting in there and those old, probably the old Formica kitchen.
Think what that would, you're on your way to Lake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
You can get right off, right on 41 there, get right downtown if you have to go cover something else. It'd be amazing.
That home has 9 bedrooms, 15 full bathrooms.
Yeah.
Four half baths. And 14 garage spaces.
Yeah.
That'd be incredible.
But breaking into that thing is just dumb because you know the police are right there like ASAP. It's Michael Jordan's home.
You know, if you just pull up at the gate, the gate still has the big 23 on it.
Yeah.
And take a picture. If you're there more than 30 seconds, there are police.
Yeah. That's just a dumb idea.
Yeah. 100%.
All right. What else, JC?
How about one more criminal story for you?
Sure.
Burglars cut hole in a wall of a coffee store bathroom to break into Apple Store. Takes worth of 500,000 items from Apple. Literally, if you look up the picture, they cut out a 24 by 18 hole in the bathroom right next to the toilet, crawled into the small space into the Apple Store when everybody was gone, stole all the merchandise.
That's what they did in Casino. Remember that?
Yes.
They
yes.
pulled the van right up against the building on like a Sunday when no one was around, and then they cut a hole in the side of the building to circumvent the alarm. Wow, pretty ingenious.
It's just so ridiculous, though. Over $500,000, you said, JC?
Yeah, $500,000 worth stolen, and 436 iPhones were taken.
Well, Cap, don't they have a way to track those, Jay Moore?
No Apple TV for you, Cap.
It's all correct. Gone.
It's all gone.
All right. This stupid game is on Apple TV. Can I buy it? No, they were stolen last night.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you asked the salient question. Aren't those phones tracked? Aren't they?
I would think.
Yeah.
They've got to be tracked.
So I think I read somewhere, too. I'm trying to find it here in the article, but they have the serial numbers attached still. So I think Apple has a way to shut down those serial number codes on the phone so they can't be accessed or they can't be started up, the phones. So people can still sell them at pawn shops or whatever, but at the end of the day, they're not going to be able to activate their phone.
And that is our Friday folder right here on Cap and J Hood, brought to you by
ETI, School of Skilled Trades, baby.
Don't think that's in the script, but okay. How's that Apple TV working for you for the Cub game today? Good? Did she get back to you?
I don't like you.
I'm just asking. I'm just getting an update.
No.
What did Hun say?
Hun hasn't responded.
No,
Joey G did.
He'll help you. Okay. All right. Coming up, the weekend weather forecast with Tracy Butler. That's next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and J-Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out. They pull me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. And it's a Friday. I say you get there about 1 o'clock, get yourself something at the bar from my friend PJ, like a little bourbon, then get the burger, the fries that take 3 days to make. A little bacon on the side. What a day. That's how you get your weekend started. Jay Moore.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
National Pajama Day as well. You don't use pajamas, though. You haven't used those?
I don't own them.
Yes.
No.
Since when? 1970?
Probably. 78?
You slept naked as a child, too?
I was in college till 82. After 82.
So after college, you decide to go commando?
Yes.
Okay.
The sheets?
Huh?
In the sheets, you go commando every night.
I have sheets on my bed.
Yeah, in the sheets. That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's nasty.
Why is it nasty?
You know that you like do exactly like little farts at night? and all of the fecal all the fecal matter gets on your sheets.
You're insane.
No, that's true. There's a study. You should get a black light and see the fecal matter that's left on your sheets.
Oh God.
The next morning to see how much little farts that you
first
had.
Of all,
okay, Tantu. All right.
Every night before bed. So there's a 0% chance that's happening. Yeah.
I hope you wash your sheets every night.
No, he doesn't
go to bed.
You don't wash your sheets every night, do you?
What do you sleep in? Like the Michelin Man soup? I mean, that's just stupid.
That's nasty.
And that is the Captain Jared Cut of the Day brought to you by Proudly.
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. My guy Flom is like in his car going, I sponsored what?
Yeah, exactly. Proudly.
Get the burger today with a little bourbon, maybe a nice cool crisp beer.
Yes.
Yeah, a little mint Oreo ice cream pie. You'll thank me later.
We go from Naked Cap to Tracy Butler from ABC 7 Eyewitness News. She joins us here on Cap and Jay with the weekend weather.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
So happy to follow that.
What's your husband's name?
Michael.
Michael.
Yeah.
What about it?
I'd like to meet Michael. I bet he's a cool dude.
He is a very cool
dude. If he landed you, he's a cool dude.
Well, he thinks he's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, you think he sleeps, you want to ask him if he sleeps naked as well, or does he have little farts?
That's none of my business.
Oh, good gravy. No, it's not. Farts? And really, it's none of my business what you sleep in either or not.
Oh, you
don't sleep in what?
Well, the whole world knows now.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Yeah.
See, my wife and I choose that.
You have awkward transitions on television all the time. How about this one?
This is probably in the top five. I think this is in the top five. Yeah.
So, Masters weekend.
Yes.
Can you please tell us about the weather? Because, I'm locked in tomorrow. I said, hon, Saturday, Sunday is Masters weekend. We're watching.
Yeah, I know. And so what will they do? Will they rerun last year tomorrow if it's a washout?
Probably a best of thing.
Yeah. Miserable tomorrow.
Really?
Very rainy.
Like all day rain?
All day rain.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it looks really wet there tomorrow and cold. I think their high there tomorrow is about 51 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's 71 there right now.
Ugh,
yeah.
51?
Yeah.
I guess you want to bet the low score. Total. The final winner is going to be low.
How about no score? How about no golf?
I'll be very surprised. I think it's going to be a really steady rain throughout the day
tomorrow.
How
about Sunday?
Sunday, it will look a lot better. There will probably still be some rain maybe early in the morning, but they don't tee off until the afternoon on Sunday.
Probably not.
And so they're looking at temperatures getting back up, but only 60s, probably low 60s on Sunday.
How about Chicago for Easter?
Oh, my gosh. If you're hiding your Easter eggs outside, they won't get wet. Just make sure the dogs don't eat them. I mean, it looks beautiful. This weekend looks beautiful, you guys.
That's awesome. So sunshine.
You're awesome.
So sunshine and everything else.
Yeah, it's all good.
Scott was saying it's going to get in the 80s next week.
You mean Cheryl Scott?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, that's her name, Scott.
We thank you for listening and calling and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN
crazy.
Chicago app. Our thanks to you, JC. Thank you, Jay Moore.
You're the butler.
Cap, how about we do this Monday?
Let's do it. Let's have a great freaking weekend, man.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy
we'll talk
Easter.
To you Monday at 7. So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.